Psalms 71 this morning. This week we'll kind of wrap up. We did a little mini series in the book of Psalms. So I hope you've enjoyed our trek through some of that. And all of them have been discussing some of the emotions that David had faced as he approached the Lord. And so obviously next week as we approach Christmas Eve, we'll take a look into the birth narrative, the account from Luke about Jesus' birth. And then we will begin 2024 looking through the Gospel of Luke together. But this particular psalm this morning, as I've mentioned, the ones we've looked at before were all definitively from King David himself. And this particular psalm, though thought to be written by King David in his later years, it's not actually confirmed for sure that that is the case, because there's no mention of it within this psalm. And the other ones we've looked at, it distinctively said at the beginning, this was a psalm written by David. You'll notice this one does not necessarily say that, and there's no mention within it as well that it is specifically King David. So we're kind of left to conjecture of not necessarily knowing who the author of that is, but that's okay, because there's other instances in Scripture where that takes place. But what we do know is, though we may not know the human author, we know exactly who inspired and who lined up this psalm to be within the Scripture, and that was God himself. But you'll notice as we read through it that this individual, whoever did write this song, had some things going on in their life and some decisions and some emotions that they were working through. And maybe you can relate this morning. So let's read that together in Psalm chapter 71. Verse 1 says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Never let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel men. For you, O Lord, are my hope and my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you have I leaned before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb, and my praise is continually to you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in my time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me, and those who watch for my life consult together and say, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver him.' O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness and yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and still I proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all of those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things. O God, who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities, and you will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me yet again. I will praise you with my harp for your faithfulness, O God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for you when I sing praises to you, my soul also which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For when they have put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt." So you might be able to notice the individual here has some things going on in life. And maybe they might be a little bit moody, but that's okay, because you and I can certainly be like that from time to time. But we see an instance, and again, widely thought to be King David himself in his later years. But even so, somebody in their later years who is calling out to the Lord and really reminiscing on their relationship with God through the years. And so if we look in the first three verses, just verses 1 through 3, the psalmist is talking about the Lord delivering his people. And so the psalmist, living in this time, has seen the Lord deliver Israel and seen the Lord deliver him individually through certain points in time. But notice that's how the psalmist starts this psalm in approaching God, the immediate declaration of trust and dependence on the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't often always approach God this way. Notice the immediate response was declaration of trust and dependence on the Lord. It wasn't, okay, God, here's what's going on and here's what I need from you. The psalmist started with dependence on the Lord and trust of him. How often do we approach God this way? I can only speak for myself, but I know when I approach God, I immediately hit him with what I want to see and what I expect him to do for me. But instead, maybe we should simply look at how we approach the Lord from time to time. What if we approached him in the way the psalmist approached him? Immediate declaration of trust and dependence on the Lord. You know, we often wonder why God's not listening to us or why he's not answering us in the way that we want, but maybe it's because of the way that we're approaching him. Maybe it's because we're expecting and demanding things from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we, as the psalmist did here, need to remember our place in the equation. The psalmist says, deliver me from your righteousness, asking God to righteously on his behalf, to act righteously on his behalf, to bring good in his way in a way that only God can. The psalmist here, whoever it may be, understood that the righteousness of God was the only thing that could work on his behalf in order to deliver him from what he was facing. And we get a glimpse into what that may be. But he also says, incline your ear to me. If you were here last week when we looked at Psalm chapter 86 together, we saw this language take place, this idea of God shifting his position to intently listen to us. I shared the example of a pastor I had growing up that was a very tall man. And I noticed that anytime he would speak, especially to a child, he would get on a knee or he would lower his position so that he wasn't towering over who it was that he was talking to. And later, in later years, I realized he was doing that to show who it was that he was talking to, that he was right there with them, that he was on their level, that he was listening. And when we see in Scripture, psalmist or King David or whoever it is say, incline your ear to me, they're asking God to do this very thing. To shift his position from King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is certainly able and should probably tower over us in all things. But our God cares about what we have to say. And he shifts his position to listen to his people. And the psalmist is asking God to do just that. God, incline your ear to me. Hear what I have to say to you because I need you. The need for God to rescue and to protect him. We see the psalmist's need to find safety and refuge, maybe physically, as we see some of his circumstances play out, but absolutely in his heart and in his soul as well, seeking refuge that could only be provided by God. So perhaps that's you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, and what you need most, what you're seeking most, is simply a place of refuge, a place away from the stress and the anxieties and the demands of this world. The good news is that place does exist, and that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the very God that this psalmist is crying out to, is the God that is willing to be the rock and the foundation of such a fortress and a refuge that is available to you and me, and all we have to do is cry out to him as the psalmist is. So if that's you this morning, regardless of your age, regardless of your stage of life, maybe you can understand where the psalmist is coming from. In verses 4 through 6, the next section here, the psalmist talks and reminisces really about God's constant care, not only of him individually, but of his people. He asks God and he says, deliver me. So here we learn a little bit of some of the psalmist's afflictions. He mentions wickedness that he's facing and cruel men around him. Again, maybe you can relate with some of these things this morning. But the psalmist needed deliverance from this. He needed to be removed. He needed help in this situation to be delivered. And he knew that his God, his Lord, his Adonai, as we talked about last week and will come up again, he knew that God was the only one that could help. You see, in order to be delivered from his place, he knew that he had to be taken from where he was and brought to somewhere completely different. As some of you know, one of my the side jobs that I do is a courier, where I literally go and pick up a package from one place and deliver it to somebody else. And this is actually the same idea. He knew that he needed to be delivered. He needed to be picked up and moved from one place and to the other. And for me, when I'm doing those jobs, the delivery is only complete once that package is removed from point A and brought to point B. And the psalmist knew that he needed to be removed from point A, which is where he was, and his affliction and his brokenness and everything that he was dealing with. And he wanted to be delivered somewhere else in the presence of the Lord in his refuge. And he knew that the delivery is only accomplished when he is moved from somewhere else. God knew that the psalmist needed to be picked up from one place and delivered somewhere totally different. And the psalmist knew that God was the one that could complete this delivery. So maybe you need delivery this morning. Maybe you need to be delivered this morning. And if that's the case, may you continue to hear and to listen how the psalmist felt that that needed to take place. The psalmist says to the Lord that you are my hope. And I referenced it earlier last week in the psalm that we looked at, the phrase Adonai for Lord, signifying the lordship of God, was used 7 different times in that psalm, and we see it used over and over here. The reference to God as Lord, not simply a genie in the bottle, not simply somebody who can do something for us when we need help, but a Lord who they submitted their authority to. The hope that the psalmist had of being delivered from everything that he was dealing with rested purely in the hands of his Lord. The psalmist mentions that God had upheld him from birth. And it was discussed, we talked about this generally earlier, that it's understood that, again, whoever wrote the psalm, whether it be David or somebody else, seems to be in the later stages of their life. If you're a good Baptist pastor, you might say that they were seasoned in life, or that they have experienced some things, or well-versed, and so whatever phrase you want to use. But the psalmist was noting here that even in his later years, even in his old age, and he uses the phrase gray hairs and things like that earlier as we read through, the psalmist was reminding God that he's been with God for a long time. Not that God needed a reminder, that God didn't know just how long the psalmist had been a part, or had allowed God to be a part of his life, but reminding God that he's been with him, but also reminding himself how good God has been to him for such a long time, for all of his life, which looked to be quite a bit of time. People, you see, come and go all the time through the years, and you've experienced that in your life, I'm sure, but the God that he served had always remained the same. This man, whoever it was, whether it be King David or somebody else, recognized a lot had changed over the course of his life. But one thing that didn't change was the God that he continued to cry out to in times of need. So if God had been so good to him and upheld him and cared for him for this long, why on earth would he stop now? And you see, God has been good to you and to me for a long time, and some longer than others, right? See, even the Bible makes old jokes from time to time. So when I do it, it's biblical, right? Is that how that works? Maybe? Okay, we'll see. But he upheld him from birth to the time of gray hairs, from a time of where he's at now, when maybe the end of his life is closer than it was before. But the psalmist recognized, God's been good to me for a very long time. And because of that, I know God will continue to be good for me. He's got a pretty good track record. And so may I continue to do so. In verses 7 through 11, this next section, he talks about God as his refuge in the midst of his long life. He even says it, Lord, you are my refuge. And it's believed that the psalmist in the midst of this was committed to God for a long time. And yet, in the midst of this, he even notes that some look at his commitment to God and wonder and question his relationship with God because of the afflictions that were faced. How could somebody so committed to God be facing so many difficulties? So naturally, if that person's facing that many difficulties, maybe they're not as close to God as they think. That is what people would say, and he notes that. But maybe you feel similar. Maybe you wonder that you've been trying to live a God-honoring life. You've been doing this walk with the Lord thing for a long time. You've been to churches for a long time. You've been a Christian for a long time, yet it feels so difficult, and it feels hard and unbearable at times. And maybe we question, is God actually listening? Does he care? Does he even know what I'm dealing with, what I'm going through? If that's you this morning, may you as the psalmist and me as the psalmist does, seek refuge in his promises. Again, people come and go and people change and circumstances change, but the same God that made this man promises when he was a youth, when he was young, is the same God that's telling him he's going to deliver him now. He trusted in him then. Why wouldn't he do so now? But notice the redirect in the phrasing here. This is how I was, but you continue to be this way. The psalmist here is shifting the focus, right? It would be very easy to say, God, this is where I'm at, and this is what I am dealing with, and this is what I need from you. But that's not what the psalmist is talking about here. He's focused on who God is and the character of God. The focus being shifted to God where it should be, even in the midst of all the turmoil that he's facing. I don't know about you, but again, speaking just for myself, this is something I'm not very good at doing, because you and I, we love for the focus to be on ourselves, right? We love to say, God, I need this from you. God, I need this circumstance to change. God, my life would be a whole lot easier and less hectic if this was the case for me. But when we do that, our focus isn't where it needs to be. He's asking God to be his refuge, but if we continue to ask God to change things for us on our behalf, for our betterment, we're not seeking refuge with the Lord. We're trying to build a refuge for ourselves. The psalmist says, let my mouth be filled with your praise. Because God is faithful, because the God he's crying out to has a proven track record, the psalmist wanted to praise him because of that faithfulness. The idea here is that there should be no room within his mouth or his heart for anything else to flow out of him but the praises of God. Maybe that's something we can pray for ourselves this morning as well. May we have no room for anything else in our lives that the overflow of what we say and how we act is of praise to God, because there's not room for anything else. In a time and in a place where we use our voices and we use our words to not praise God, but curse him. Not to encourage one another, but to afflict one another and to bring harsh words against one another. May we be in a place where when we open our mouths, the only thing that flows out is praise to the one who is worthy. He continues and says, do not forsake me when my strength fails. Again, as an older man, the psalmist knew that his physical strength was fading. But he knew that this, though an issue for him, wasn't an issue for God. You see, God doesn't grow old and weary and frail over time. Where our strength may fail and where our lives may come to an end, the reason for that is because we are finite. There is a beginning and an end, but with God, there is no beginning and no end. Though his physical strength was fading, God's was not. He doesn't grow old and weary. Though our strength, our resolve, our willpower may diminish, God's does not. And that is something worth praising. And the psalmist too also understood that age doesn't necessarily, in this instance, equate to spiritual maturity. Now hear me, the psalmist knows that he was not mature in his relationship with God because he was old, but he was mature in his relationship with God because God is faithful. And he was faithful to God. You see, it's real easy to equate maturity with age, but that doesn't always necessarily translate. The Bible has quite a few of examples of people who, in quoting scripture, declined greatly in their relationship with God over the years, and we're not immune from that as well. And if we're not careful, we can assume maturity in our lives and in the church simply because we've been around longer or we've done this a little bit longer. But the determining factor for maturity in Christ isn't about who has been around longer, but who has been around God longer. So if we're looking at our lives and we're trying to gauge our spiritual maturity, it's not how many weeks you've sat in the pews of a church or how many times you've attended a Sunday school class, how long you've been around. But it's how long you've been around the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is maturity and learning, obviously, that can take place for being around from a long time. But there's also maturity and learning that can take place from all ages and all stages of life. I've shared before an example of seeing with my own eyes a 15-year-old boy lead a 60-something-year-old man to the Lord. In that moment, you would assume that the 68-year-old was the mature one that would be able to lead and to guide. But in that moment, I saw something that forever changed how I viewed youth ministry and really how I viewed seeing people come to faith in Christ, where in that moment, the 15-year-old was the one that was mature in his relationship with Christ and used that in his humility to share the good news of Jesus with somebody who seemingly was more mature than him in every other way. But all this to say, this isn't just a tangent to young people are awesome, as much as I would love to stand before you and say that. But the reason for that is the psalmist knows here that he was mature in his relationship with God, but it has nothing to do with the color of his hair or lack thereof, or his age and his strength failing. The reason he had such a strong relationship with God is because he had been connected to God for such a long time. Do not forsake me when my strength fails, is what he says. God, I know that my life is changing and I'm not as the way that I used to be, but that's the beauty of serving a God who has no beginning and no end, because he never says, I'm not the way that I used to be. He always has been. He always will be. His character never changes. And though our circumstances and even our character changes from time to time, he never will. And I don't know about you, if I'm wanting a place of refuge and strength to be, that is where I want to be. Something that never changes because of circumstances or how he feels about us, because I give God some reasons to not feel great about me from time to time. In verses 12 through 16, as he continues, he talks about strength against his enemies. And here we get a little glimpse of maybe what he's dealing with, because there's a physical threat and danger in his life as well. There was a danger that the psalmist faced, and there was a sense of urgency, if you kind of read through this passage, that he needed help from God, and he needed help from God quickly. He understood that though his years were advanced, that his problems were continuing, and that there was a sense that delayed help would in fact be no help at all. He longed for a clear and concise defeat of his enemies, leaving no doubt that he was no longer in danger or had things in front of him that he was facing. So if you're here this morning needing strength and comfort for the opposition you're facing in life, we all have times like that. You've come to the right place. You are listening to the words of the right person, and not me, but the Lord who in his sovereignty wrote this psalm that we're looking at. And he will deliver. And may we approach the one who delivers. Again, not with our demands, not with our expectations, but with our praises and our trust and our honor to the Lord who never changes. If you look in verses 17 and 18, the psalmist talks about how he's learned from God through all the different stages of life. He says, you've taught me from my youth. The psalmist acknowledging that he had walked with God for a long time. And because of that, it had benefited him for many years. He has walked with God from the time of his youth, and he's noting that that's quite a long track record. The psalmist, if he were around today, he might be saying that, you know, God, I've been to a whole lot of vacation Bible schools, or I went to plenty of youth camps. I've done the young adult group. I've been in the marrieds class, and now maybe eventually he finds himself in the senior adult class. He might even say he's attended whatever church he was at for a very long time. So again, I have a feeling that some of us might be able to relate. We might be able to look back and say, you know, I've done this walk with the Lord thing for a long time. And if that's the case, I praise the Lord that that has been the case for you. But even in the midst of all that, he understood that this did not disqualify him from continuing to learn and to grow in his relationship with the Lord. You see, he didn't outgrow the need to hear from and to learn from God. Because he's progressed in age, didn't disqualify him from needing to hear and to learn about God. He didn't outgrow that, and neither have you or I. He mentions in here, when I am old and gray. Again, the psalmist acknowledges that he's not getting any younger. Again, perhaps we can relate this morning. But even though he wasn't getting any younger, the need for God to fill the places in his life was just as great as it was many years ago in the days of his youth. But please don't miss the last part of this. He also mentions, until I declare your strength to the next generation, to this generation. So notice, did you catch that? Because he's looking at his life kind of coming to an end, maybe not abruptly, but he knows, again, he's not getting any younger, and he's wondering what God wants from him now. And he's looking back, and he's seeing that there's still some work to be done. Though this man had seen a lot, he had been around for a long time. Maybe he'd even paid his dues in helping with children and youth events before. He understood that there was still work to be done. And here he notes that that work is not complete until the younger generations know who God is and why he's so important. You see, he is looking back and reminiscing that, God, you have walked with me from my youth, and I've needed you every step of the way. And though now I'm not in my youth anymore, I'm not in that time anymore, there are youth that still need you. And who better than to tell them and to share about who God is and why he's so important than somebody who has walked that road for a long time? Have you ever wondered, or maybe heard somebody ask, or maybe you've asked this yourself or pondered this yourself, what can I do now that I'm a little more seasoned in life? Now that I'm on this side of things, I've walked with God for a long time. I've done the Christian thing. I've done the church life for a long time. Now, what is there to do? The psalmist asked this same question, and the answer here was clear that he got to through help from the Lord, is there still, he was still there for a reason. He is still in this moment for a reason, and he realized that the younger generations needed him. He realized that though he had walked with the Lord for a long time and was grateful for that, and God had delivered him and helped him through many things, that there's entire generations of people that are just starting out on that journey. I want you to try to think and remember back to that time when you had just started your relationship with the Lord, wherever you were, whatever that looked like, and how long it's been since then, and how much God has taught you since then. The reality is there's some people today that are starting that journey that you started so long ago. And who better to help them, to show them, to teach them how important it is, to show them how faithful God can be than somebody who God has been faithful to for so long. The younger generations needed the psalmist. He realized that he still had a part to play. And how he responded to that need from the younger generation could either harm their views of Christ and the church or shifted in a direction that would change things forever. So maybe, before we're so quick to roll our eyes at those youngins, right? And we look at their confusing emojis, like when we were at the Christmas party, right? Some of you were asking me what emojis and things like that were. But before we're so quick to just roll our eyes at them and say, man, things are so different for them and they don't care as much. Maybe we feel they're a little more progressive than we want them to be because they enjoy things a little bit different. Maybe they just need you to love them. Maybe they just need to see in you the same love that God has shown you. Maybe they need to see Jesus in you and you lovingly show them the ways that you have followed for so long. You see, but if our response isn't that way, maybe, without even meaning to do so, we push them away from God's love because we're not showing that as well. If we're not loving and caring for them in a way that honors Christ, maybe they look and they say, yeah, I know my mom, my dad, my grandparent, whoever you may be to them, has walked with the Lord for a long time, but they don't really love people that well. They don't really care about people that well. May that not be the case, right? When the next generations look at you and I, may they see again the praises of the Lord flowing from our mouths. May they see that we have walked with the Lord for a long time and they want to see and they want that kind of relationship with the Lord in their life. You see, there's still a part to play. The psalmist continues in 19 through 24, being revived by God, regardless of age or stage, to bring him praise. He says that your righteousness is high. God's righteousness is higher and greater than that of any man. God does great things beyond what men can do. He knew that he needed God to intervene because God could do God-sized things, and the psalmist could only do man-sized things. You see, God is alone in this company. God is the only one that can bring about God-sized things. There's none that resemble him until later when we see the birth of Jesus, as we'll discuss next week. Revive me again, says the psalmist. His troubles were great, but the psalmist knew that God could revive his fire and his focus. The same God that created life at the very beginning of time could revive him and breathe life back into him in his despair. And that's good news for you and for me, because maybe we need a revived focus in our lives today. Do you need life breathed back into your marriage? The God who created life can do that. Do you need life breathed back into your family? The God who created life can do that. Maybe you need a revived focus in the Lord. The God who brings life can revive that focus and bring it back. Maybe our churches need revived focus, and the God who brings life can do that. And maybe we need revived focus and loving the younger generations in a way that points them to Jesus, not diverts them from him. Life breathes back into our own life to face the weight of the world. The good news is the Lord, Adonai, as mentioned in the scripture, is the one who gives that life and can restore those very things. And here we note from the psalmist that even in his older years, he was expectant, a word we used a lot last week, that God was going to move and that God was going to comfort him. So what about you? What about me? Are we expectant for God to move this morning? Are we expectant for God to move in our lives if we approach him and ask him to revive us and bring life back into us? Are we expectant that he will do so? Notice at the end, too, the way the psalmist responds is through musical praise. The psalmist chose to praise God with not only his voice, but, catch this, instruments, right? Can you believe it? Instruments and different things that have been given to us by God, used to bring honor and glory to him. So maybe when we see somebody whip out a guitar and sing praises to God, maybe that's actually worship. Maybe when you see one of those churches that has a drum kit on stage or has some instruments that are there, maybe they're not just being progressive and trying to put on a light show, but maybe they're using tools and gifts that have been given to them to worship God. And I mentioned the harp and the lyre here in this moment. Could you imagine telling the psalmist here that his instruments were not allowed and could not bring praises to the Lord? Or that the way that he was playing the songs, because it sounds different than what he thought, wasn't actually worship? You know, it sounds silly, but the point being here is that people can bring honor and worship to God in many different ways, and that's the beauty of worship. You and I can worship God in very different ways, but that's the beauty of it, is because you and I are still worshiping the Lord. The psalmist wanted to praise God for who he is and what he has done. And the beauty of it is the how really doesn't matter, because the point is who is being worshiped and why they are being worshiped. There are many ways to worship the Lord, and the beauty is that we have freedom to do so in how we wish. And just because somebody worships differently than the way that we might prefer and want to worship doesn't mean they're not doing it right. It just means they're doing it differently. Regardless of how we choose to worship, may we focus more on who is receiving our worship and why they are receiving our worship. So maybe you're here this morning needing God again to deliver you for the very first time. And I don't mean deliver you from your circumstances and the craziness that you're facing in life and in the holiday season, but deliverance from yourself. You see, we all need the Lord's deliverance. We all need to be delivered from one place to another because of the sin in our life. And if that's you this morning and you're asking God to deliver you from your greatest need and circumstance, he will meet you where you're at and he will deliver you, taking you from point A, dead in our trespasses and our sin, to a new place where we can be revived in our relationship with him. If that's the case, I pray that you allow God to deliver you this morning, that you don't fight back on that. But maybe you do need God to deliver you from your circumstances this morning. Maybe the weight of life has been heavy and you need a revived focus. You need life breathed back into you. And you need God to deliver you from your circumstances and your afflictions. And if that's you, as it might have been me, may we approach God today in the way the psalmist approached God at the very beginning. Again, not with our demands and what we expect God to do, but with honor and praise to God for who he is and his faithfulness over the years. A big point about this is, again, the psalmist could have easily used his age and his circumstances as an excuse that he was too old to do what God wanted him to do. But we see, as we've looked through this, God had a great mission for him. And that mission doesn't end because of where he was at now. The mission was to reach the younger generations for him. And so if you're here this morning and you're wondering how God can use someone like you that's so seasoned in life, that's been around the block a few times, whatever phrase you want to use to classify that, I can guarantee you that he's got some ways that you can help. I've seen it on display in this very church as we've attempted to shift our focus to how can we help the younger generation. We're working on it, and we're doing so. And if you don't believe me, if you were at our Christmas party, you saw just a brief glimpse of that on display. But the fact of the matter is, the younger generation needs you, Bellevue. The younger generation needs somebody to come alongside them to love and point them to Jesus and show them that God has been faithful to you for such a long time. And though they may just be starting out, that the same God that delivered you from so many things is the same God that they're crying out to and seeking. The younger generation needs you, Bellevue. As part of that younger generation, I can say that confidently. Will you answer the call to love them and point them to Jesus? Will you answer the call to point them to this faithful God that we continue to cry out to in our time of need? Worship to God is all about who God is and why he is worthy of that. May we not judge or belittle somebody because they choose to worship in a way that's different from our preferences. Maybe they use instruments. Maybe they play a harp or a lyre. Maybe the way they sing their song sounds a little bit different, but praise be to God that they choose to worship him. May we have joy in our hearts when we come across people that may worship God in a little bit different ways and be joyful in the fact that we're on the same team, trying to serve and trying to love and worship the same God and honor him in all that we do. If you're feeling that you're in your later years, seasoned in life, wondering how God can still use you, the fact that you're here this morning, the fact that you woke up this morning, means that God can still use you, that God wants to use you. And he's proven year after year for many years for some of us that he's done so. And may we look to other people and share that same faithfulness of God with them. The psalmist here needed to be revived by God, needed God to deliver him. And maybe that's our approach this morning. If that's you, again, you've come to the right place because we're being introduced to the right person to bring those fears, to bring those anxieties, to bring those emotions to. And that's the beauty of the Psalms. Though we are wrapping up our mini series in Psalms, I encourage you to continue to read through Psalms from time to time, because the beauty of it is all the different emotions are covered. If you're ever angry with God, there's psalms that are written when people were angry with God. If you're questioning why God would allow things, there's psalms about that. If you're just wanting God to listen to you and not sure why things seem silent, there's psalms about that. That's the beauty of the scripture. Real people, real emotions, and a real God who cares about those emotions that we have. But with that mindset, let us pray and worship the Lord as we choose to this morning. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to come together and to hear from you. God, I don't know what every person in here was carrying or dealing with before they walked into this room, but what I do know is that every single one of us have some weight in our lives, some things going on that are heavy. Some burdens that we are carrying that others, even sitting right next to us, may not even know about. But the beauty of the God that we serve and the beauty of you is that you know all of those things. And you want us to bring that burden to you, to lay it down at your feet. You have given us your word through your scripture and through the emotions of other people that have written these psalms. And may we begin to approach you in the same way. God, it's easy to make ourselves the focus of our approach to you and say that we need this, we want this, we expect you to do this. But the reality is, when we approach you, may we do so from a place of worship and reverence. God, may we, even as the psalmist recognized that his strength was failing, his age was increasing, and he wasn't able to do things the way that he used to, there's still a place and there's still a purpose for those very kind of people. And God, may this church and this community continue to be a place where people are introduced and pointed to you through the love and the praise and the worship of you. May we go from here this morning, and as we leave this week and prepare for the Christmas season and everything that comes with it, may we leave here with a renewed focus, a renewed heart, a renewed mind, as the psalmist asked for, in order to bring honor and praise to you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.